We know enough about our climate problem to know that it's serious and that we need to get started right away.
What we're seeing right now is a clear loading of the weather dice.
A group of students has been fighting this battle for nearly 2 years. They're suing the federal government, demanding it do more to fight climate change.
CBS News reporting on a climate change lawsuit filed by 21 students on the West Coast. I'm Tom Cran. Paul Huttner is back with us with this week's Climate Cast. Paul, we're starting actually to see more of these climate change lawsuits showing up in court, right?
Yeah, here we go, Tom. This latest suit, San Francisco and Oakland, California, suing five major oil companies, saying they are accountable for the effects of climate change. The cities are suing Chevron, ConocoPhillips, ExxonMobil, Royal Dutch Shell, and BP. San Francisco City Attorney Dennis Herrera saying these fossil fuel companies profited handsomely for decades while knowing they were putting the fate of our cities at risk. I talked with two attorneys who are following this suit. I spoke via Skype with Mehmet Konar-Steinberg, who teaches energy and environmental law with Mitchell Hamlin School of Law here in the Twin Cities. And I started by asking Columbia Law School's Michael Berger if what we're seeing is just the tip of a climate change legal iceberg lurking below the waterline.
Well, that's a question that we're all sort of waiting to see the answer to. You know, these lawsuits out in California have been a long time coming, and those of us who sort of watch climate change litigation closely have been wondering if and when there would be lawsuits brought bringing these types of theories and relying on these types of storylines. And so far we have five in California, but we haven't seen any anywhere else. So we'll just have to wait and see if any others pop up.
Guys, I'm not an attorney, and I don't play one on the radio. Mehmet, how will attorneys try and prove that link to climate change and damages in a court of law?
Well, in this particular case, you've got the city of Oakland claiming a number of different injuries in ways that only a city can. So they're claiming that climate change is creating additional flooding of low-lying areas, shoreline erosion, saltwater impacts on the city's treatment systems. And they're also claiming an interesting angle in the complaint, some social justice kinds of impacts, saying that these particular kinds of problems affect African Americans and Hispanic people who tend to live in these areas more than other folks. And so the city is in kind of an interesting position to make these kinds of arguments. You and I might have a hard time arguing that we are individually harmed if there happens to be damage to a treatment plant, but the city can certainly make that argument in a much more direct and concrete way.
Michael, let's talk about this. We've heard that oil industry documents seem to show some oil companies, their own scientists knew about the dangers of burning fossil fuels in the atmosphere. How will that be part of this case?
The story of the fossil fuel industry's knowledge about climate change and the risks that climate change poses is very similar to the storyline around what tobacco companies knew about tobacco and the harms that it causes. It's been clear for a number of years that at least some companies had deep expertise in climate change science and had a good amount of knowledge about the risks that it posed. And in fact, some of these companies were relying on their understanding of climate change to plan ahead and to do things like move into the Arctic, understanding that there might be greater access to resources there because of the melt. So the fact that they knew and that they also sought to hide that information and obfuscate the public debate and sort of cloud public knowledge around climate change will certainly factor in as a narrative element. The legal significance of that knowledge will go towards the fact that they knew that they were contributing to this public risk. The more nefarious elements of it may not be as important in these particular cases.
Mehmet, as we go forward, how much legal exposure does big oil have here in your analysis in the next 10, 20, 30 years?
Well, everything's going to turn on whether or not the court is willing to accept that that this kind of lawsuit can go forward. And there's a lot of question marks around that. Obviously, if the court says go ahead, then you think about the scale of injuries. Every community in this country can probably trace some kind of impact back to climate change. That's the nature of this problem. It's a global problem. So obviously the oil companies are going to fight pretty hard to find a way to try to stop this kind of litigation before it gets too far.
This lawsuit is at the county level. What's the process going forward legally, and how long could it take?
Well, it's going to take some time. There's no doubt about that. All litigation does, even if it gets dismissed pretty quickly. But the Oakland and San Francisco lawsuits were filed in their respective counties. These follow on three other lawsuits that were filed in a similar vein, also in California, where the plaintiffs were Marin County, San Mateo County, and Imperial City. And one of the defendants in one of those cases has already sought to move the case out of state court and into federal court. We'll see what happens with that, but I would expect to see that same motion follow in the other cases, all of which is to say it's going to take some time, and it may or may not get resolved in state court.
Michael Berger with Columbia Law School and Mehmet Konar-Steinberg with Mitchell Hamlin School of Law, thanks for sharing your perspective today.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us, Paul.
And so we follow the money and into the courts, apparently. Tom, Bloomberg reporting this week that climate-enhanced weather disasters could cost almost $1 billion a day in the U.S. within a decade. That's based on a study from the Universal Ecological Fund that finds total cost to address climate change impacts could increase 50% by 2027 to as much as $360 billion a year. Now, NOAA keeps track of billion-dollar weather disasters in the U.S. In the past 10 years, Texas alone, Tom, has had 40 separate billion-dollar weather disasters.
Wow. Well, we're still watching a very difficult situation in Puerto Rico. The aftermath of Hurricane Maria, things seem pretty dire there.
Yeah, they do. And, of course, our hearts go out to everybody there. We're pulling for the fastest recovery possible. As I sort of assess this, Tom, and I think other climate journalists are doing the same thing, this really looks to me like another climate change-enhanced extreme weather shockwave. I've talked about that before. And here's why I say that. The best climate science says Hurricane Maria was likely made stronger by warmer ocean water and more water vapor in the atmosphere. Both of those are metrics of a warming climate. Now, let's be clear to separate out the likely climate change effect here. Any hurricane hitting Puerto Rico would have caused damage, but a stronger climate-enhanced storm like Maria likely increased that damage significantly. And Bloomberg quoted Puerto Rico Governor Ricardo Rosello this week warning that without unprecedented relief from the U.S. government, thousands, if not millions, of residents could leave the island for the mainland. That could strain housing, job markets, government services in cities that receive those fleeing the island. We already know that after Hurricane Katrina and Superstorm Sandy, thousands of people did migrate away and never returned. So if tens of thousands of people leave Puerto Rico as expected, we may be witnessing the latest episode of climate-fueled migration in America.
We know that the forecasts ahead of things were pretty good on Maria, weren't they?
They were. The National Hurricane Center nailed the notion of a major hurricane hitting Puerto Rico 3 to 4 days in advance. That, in my opinion, gave us enough time to maybe stage some additional resources in the southeast U.S. to be ready to go in there in a quicker fashion, Tom. Hindsight's 20/20, but we saw this one coming 3 to 4 days out.
ClimateCast with Paul Huttner each week at this time. Thank you, Paul.
Thanks, Tom.